Welcome to the Mind Dive podcast, brought to you by the Menninger Clinic, a national leader in mental health care. We're your hosts, Dr. Bob Boland
and Dr. Carrie Harrell. Twice monthly, we dive into mental health topics that fascinate us as clinical professionals, and we explore those unexpected dilemmas that arise while treating patients. Join us for all of this, plus the latest research and perspectives from the minds of distinguished colleagues near and far. Let's dive in.
Here we are, yeah.
Here we are.
This is the podcast.
The podcast we've talked about for so long.
All right. We gave a lot of thought about what we're going to do for this first podcast.
Yeah.
Like, what, about 5-10 minutes or so? And this is going to be the introduction to the actual podcast, right? We're going to sort of tell you what you're going to hear in the future podcast.
We're going to woo people into our podcast.
Exactly. That's what we're planning to do. And how we're going to do that, we're going to answer the questions that I would not want to know, and I think you want to know about what this podcast is going to be. So we're going to talk about what? Why we're doing a podcast.
What is our podcast? Who's it for?
Yeah. We're going to say a little bit about who we are, both what place we work at and who we are personally.
Oh, yeah. We should say who we are.
I think we should.
I'm Dr. Harrell, or Carrie.
I'm Dr. Bob Boland. All right. And anyhow, we're going to talk about what our interests are and stuff and what, you know, what we're going to bring to this. And then we're going to be talking about, you know, maybe a little bit of preview of future podcasts and what those are actually going to be.
Our hopes and dreams.
Exactly.
What we want to cover in this podcast.
Exactly. Or make promises we can't keep.
That's right.
Okay. That's what we're going to do.
So, Dr. Boland, you've been involved in this longer than me.
Okay.
I got pulled in later than you on this.
Yeah, right.
What are your thoughts on why we're doing this podcast?
Well, I mean, it's pretty simple. The Menninger has always been the Menninger Clinic, which is who we work for. It's always been involved in some kind of like dissemination of information, right? There's the there's the Bulletin of the Menninger Clinic, which is a peer-reviewed journal. We actually have a running series of articles in Psychology Today.
That's right. Mind Matters.
Mind Matters, yes. Which is still ongoing, is very popular. We don't do it, but the Menninger does. Exactly. And what else? I mean, people go on TV. You go on TV. We have lots We often sort of contribute to the news and stuff.
That's right. I think we have a lot to offer.
Yeah, exactly. So I was trying to think of like other ways that we could kind of like take the expertise here and all the great things that we're doing and kind of like share our knowledge with the world. And I just thought about podcasts because I listen to a lot of podcasts.
I don't listen to a lot. I listen to true crime podcasts, if anything.
Well, there might be some of that here.
So I'm newer to this, but I think you're right. There's a sense that we are surrounded by a lot of expertise here, and we have a lot of friends of the Menninger Clinic around the country and around the world who contribute to the work we do here. So I'm very excited to get to talk with people, get to share our thoughts and ideas.
And, you know, I like two kinds of podcasts. There's some that are kind of like the quick and dirty. They tend to be like about 5 minutes or so, and they teach you like one or two things that, you know, are just interesting to know.
Okay.
I do recommend minutes. Those are great.
That's short.
And maybe eight. And then there's other ones that are kind of more like, you know, that are kind of like more the in-depth thing where they take one subject and kind of like really tell you a lot about that and kind of give you like a deep knowledge of that.
Yes.
I think that's what we're going to be going for, right? We're not the quick and dirty podcast.
We're not the quick and dirty.
Maybe somewhere in between, but it's more like taking a subject and kind of learning more about it.
I think the aim of our podcast is to think with other mental health clinicians and providers, so psychiatrists, psychologists, again, other people who are providers of mental health services, and really take more unique, interesting, not as talked about clinical dilemmas, curiosities, and get to spend some time thinking about it.
Yeah. So we're not going to be like, here's 5 minutes of everything you need to know about major depression.
That's right.
No. There's other things actually that do that well already.
Right. And our podcast is called Mind Dive.
Yeah.
How did we come up with that name?
Well, it kind of goes along with the kind of deep thing, right?
That's right.
You're diving into the information.
I think that's a nice segue into the Menninger Clinic.
Yeah. Did you come up with that name?
The Mind Dive?
Yeah.
I don't know. Okay. I don't know who came up with the name. Mm-hmm. I think it was our lovely,
our producer,
our lovely PR team, and they did a great job with that. I think though, it is very representative of the work we do at the Menninger Clinic.
Yeah, I think so.
We should talk about the Menninger Clinic.
Yeah. I mean, because that's really who Menninger is. It's like we sort of tend to see the patients that don't manage with just the regular routine treatment.
And we'll get into how we both got to Menninger. Yeah. I'm a staff psychologist here. You are the chief of staff and a chief of staff. Psychiatrist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When I think about my experiences at the Menninger Clinic and the work we do, ultimately we're trying to think with people, hold their mind in mind, help them understand underlying factors to why they've been stuck.
Yeah.
Because we work with a lot of people who are stuck.
Yeah, exactly. For those, I mean, we're assuming everyone knows, but the Menninger Clinic is in Houston, has a long history, it's been around for, I don't know, about 100 years or so.
Mm-hmm. We're a psychiatric hospital.
Yeah, as a psychiatric hospital, that's all we do. And I think probably what we bring to it that, you know, it's not so amazing, but it still is kind of special these days, is that we spend a lot of time working very hard to understand our patients very well.
Yeah, we're a psychotherapeutic hospital. Yeah. That's probably what wooed me the most into Menninger, mm-hmm. Compared to other places I worked, is how therapeutic everything we do here is, and how all there's all sorts of parts of the patient's experience that get held in mind.
Yeah.
I mean, even from, we have a wonderful cafeteria. We have a really nice gym.
That's very important.
I think it's very important.
Yeah, of course.
I've never worked at a hospital where most of the staff eat their lunch at the cafeteria in the hospital.
Yeah. Not as much during COVID.
That's true. We are careful with that. But I do think that we think with the patient about their physical health, what's going on for them biologically. We're working with social workers and family therapists to think with their families.
Yeah.
We're working with psychologists to do psychological testing.
Yeah.
And we get to do individual therapy, which, as we'll talk about, that's obviously one of my big interests.
The way I think of it is I actually just said goodbye to a patient who's leaving today.
Yeah.
Who's done very well and is, you know, been, you know, really has, you know, experienced great improvement. And she said that what was special to her about this place was how on board everyone seemed to be. She goes, you know, like how well I understood what was going on with her, not just what I was doing, but what the rest of the team was doing.
Yes.
And that we had this whole team working with her and that we all actually seemed to talk together a lot.
We do.
And to sort of really kind of have a good understanding of each other's goals.
We think together a lot. Mm-hmm. That's, again, why I like MindDive as our podcast coming out of Menninger, because we're thinking about things. We're trying to make space.
That's true. All right. We should say a little bit about who we are, though.
That's right.
Right. Why don't you start? Who are you?
Who am I? What an existential question. I am Dr. Carrie Harrell. I am a clinical psychologist. So I'll start with, I got my PhD in clinical psychology from Biola University in California. There's two major focuses of that program. One is on psychodynamic training for intervention and assessment. Broadly integrative, mm-hmm. but similar to Menninger, that the air of the program is rooted in a psychodynamic tradition. The other major focus is on integrating in religion and understanding aspects of religion and spirituality in a person's psychology. And how do those things work together? I'm very interested in the integration of religion and psychology. I imagine that'll come up in the podcast. I have experts and people.
I think you plan for it too.
Yeah,
yes.
I'm interested in talking about, because I think that can be an area of a person's experience that at times gets missed.
Is it fair for me to say it's often been a neglected area of psychiatry and psychology?
I think people get nervous to talk about people's religion and spirituality, mm-hmm. both for people who, as a provider, I have a different religion or spirituality. And even for people who we come from the same tradition. Yeah. I don't want to make assumptions. So we tend to give it thought at the beginning during an assessment, but we don't necessarily really think with patients about their spirituality and their religion and how it intersects with things like depression, hopelessness, existential dread. I think matters that are important to clinical life.
Which is kind of odd when you think about it, because we talk about this elsewhere, but actually religious beliefs are a pretty good predictor for lots of health outcomes.
Yes.
Believe it or not, whether you like that or not. That's right. Yeah.
And my interests are actually, my very specific interests take the other side of that. And at times look at how religious-based beliefs can be not so good for mental health.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So I look at things like sexism, homophobia, transphobia, mm-hmm. more rigid gender roles and gender ideologies and how that intersects with well-being.
Are we going to be able to hear more about that?
I hope so.
Yes, I hope so.
And now I did my clinical internship pre-doctorally and then my postdoctoral fellowship, both at the Menninger Clinic. I was incredibly privileged to get to come here. I fell in love with the treatment here. I've worked a lot with outpatient, and in my outpatient work, I felt quite responsible for all aspects of the person's mental health functioning. And in these weekly sessions, we would be focusing so much on stabilization, because I did work with people with more serious mental illness. So I fell in love with the treatment here, but also really thought I wanted to be an academic and go teach. So I left to go teach for a year, which I loved, to be clear. What a fun experience. But then I came back.
Well, I hope you're still going to be an academic here.
I am. That's right. But not primary teaching.
Okay. Fair enough.
That's me.
Great.
And now I'm a clinical psychologist on our young adults program.
That's great.
Yeah.
It's glad you're here. We're actually both newbies.
Yeah. Here.
Yeah. More or less. Yeah. Okay. I'll sum myself up pretty quickly. I've kind of had like three phases to my professional life. I kind of began as a kind of clinician, sort of researcher. I did my work in an area where I did my fellowship in an area which you probably don't even never have heard of. Have you heard of consultation liaison psychiatry?
Yes.
Oh, you have? Okay.
Yeah.
Good. CNL, I'm glad the word's getting out.
Psychiatry.
Okay. A lot of people haven't. And it's basically those are, what is it? You tell me.
Wow. This feels like a quiz.
Yeah.
CNL is for shorter term, you know, with other specialties, you come in and you help think with them about the possible
psychiatric problem. Right. So psychiatrists who like are very interested in sort of.
Did I get it right?
More or less, except I don't know about the short term part, but the notion that we take an interest in how mental illness affects other diseases.
Okay.
And so we tend to hang around in general hospitals, unlike the Menninger actually, and help other physicians and surgeons and stuff deal with their patients' mental health problems, mm-hmm. you know, because they're impinging on their medical problems as well.
Right.
Yeah. So that's what I did for the first part of my career. And I also did some research in, you know, the effects of mental illness on HIV, working with the CDC.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, as working with the CDC and a few other people.
That's really cool.
It was. It remains an important issue. And yeah, it's near and dear to my heart. And fortunately, that sort of area has come a long way since I was doing it. So I did that for quite some time. But as it happened, I also got more involved in teaching, something I didn't think I wanted to do. And so the next part of my career became more as an educator. I was at Brown University at the time. And I pretty much spent most of my time by the end of my career there as an educator, doing pretty much all phases of education. Mm-hmm. I was involved in undergraduate education, graduate medical education, worked with psychologists, psychiatrists, and I eventually became one of the residency trainees, the associate residency training director for the training program there, and did that as well as ran sort of the medical school courses and stuff. So that was actually a lot of fun. I did that for quite some time. Got recruited up to the Brigham and Women's in Boston, which is part of Harvard University, where I sort of continued doing that and then became the training director there. And then I did that for some time, and I kind of thought that was going to be my career, and I was pretty happy doing that. But, you know, I did get recruited here at the Menninger and Baylor University to take over as the chief of staff. And it seemed like really an extension of what I've been doing in a way. I've been designing programs for training for quite some time.
That's right.
And the chance to sort of do it for faculty in general and for the staff just seemed very compelling. I've only been here a year, so we'll see how, you know.
Wonderful year.
But challenging year. But all the same, here I am.
I would like to note, because people won't see us right away, that we're quite different. I'm a psychologist.
Yeah.
I'm a woman.
Yep.
I'm young.
You're young.
Bit newer into my career than you are.
But I think quite accomplished, but young.
I think that we bring different things. Mm-hmm. Also, I think our interests are pretty different.
Yeah.
I tend to be quite interested in psychodynamic / psychoanalytic informed assessments, treatments, things like that. And I think you tend to be more interested in...
I'll fill in that blank. I'm more interested in sort of the relationship of kind of the mind-body stuff to the point where I think the whole notion of mind-body is kind of antiquated and sort of a useless notion and stuff.
Right.
Like the brain is part of the body, and how they affect each other is interesting to me. I always still find it kind of fascinating how people are surprised when they read a paper that says, for instance, that like something going on in your gut can affect like how you're feeling.
I feel like
emotionally.
My mom has been telling me that for so long, and I fought it. I was like, no way, mom.
She
said, you need to take probiotics. And I said, I don't think so, mom.
Well, I'm not saying you need to take probiotics, but all the same, you know, the notion that, you know, all this stuff isn't connected and affecting each other.
That's
just
right.
Seems to me odd that people wouldn't just accept that and stuff, or that stress can affect heart disease or something like that. I mean, how could it not in a way? So those are the kind of stuff that I'm interested in, which means, you know, I kind of like very complicated patients, which I think is what we have in common.
That's right. We do. We do have that in common. And we work with really complicated patients here.
Yes, absolutely.
With that in mind, what are some of the topics or areas we want to talk about on the podcast?
I mean, we're going to try to make use, I would say, of sort of the great expertise we have here. In other words, This is the one where we get to talk to each other, but we're not going to keep doing this, right? No. We're going to get other people on and stuff and sort of tap their brains in a way.
Ideally, this is the most you'll hear from us.
That would be ideally. My sense is that we can both make use of the fact that we know a lot of people here with a lot of expertise in a lot of subjects that probably a lot of clinicians are worried about. Things that we kind of wrestle with our patients.
Yes.
And I think we can help with that. So I think we can sort of tap some of the expertise here from a lot of different people of lots of different interests. Plus, you know, we have a larger network of people that we can draw on and stuff. I think we both have national roles. You know, I do a lot of education stuff at a national level, mm-hmm. including sort of regulation, things like that. Mm-hmm. But it puts me in touch with a lot of people. I know you're in touch with a lot of other people. Mm-hmm. And we're going to sort of draw on some of them to kind of share some of their knowledge as well.
Right.
That's very general and vague.
I'll go more specific. Even early on, we're having Dr. Nancy McWilliams on the podcast. She'll be talking to us about the dilemma of treating grief versus treating depression, particularly in people with more masochistic or depressive personalities. I think that is a excellent example of the kind of topic we're interested in, where it's a dilemma. Oftentimes people try to treat grief with what we know for how to treat depression, and it doesn't work.
Yep.
And she's going to be speaking with us about that, the ways in which psychotherapists get stuck working with that, with people with complicated grief in a personality style where people are more self-defeating. So I think that's a prime example of what we're trying to accomplish, thinking about the complicated aspects of clinical picture.
Other people coming up. We don't want to promise everything yet, but give everything away. But we also will be having Glenn Gabbard on pretty soon. Mm-hmm. He's an expert in many things, but he's also was one of the pioneers in sort of understanding the nature of boundary violations mm-hmm. and such. And we kind of want to tap his brain and take a dive into that a bit, so to speak, because I think COVID has kind of changed that, and sort of the whole virtual world that we live in now is kind of like made it harder to navigate some of these things.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll plug one more. Our own Dr. Michelle Patrick-Quinn, who's our director of research, she is one of the leading experts on wearable technology. And one of the things we focus on here at the Menninger Clinic are things like sleep and how much sleep is a transdiagnostic issue for many different disorders. So she's working on how can we be less disruptive to sleep in psychiatric care where we have rounds. We're opening the door and we're taking a peek at the patient every 15 minutes through the night.
Yeah.
And if that's a massive factor in suicide, people not getting adequate sleep, how can
you might want to underscore that? Because I don't think a lot of people know that.
Sleep is a massive factor. And the fact that we are here trying to help people who are battling suicidality, we're waking them up every 15 minutes.
Yeah.
We're not waking them up, but it can often wake them up when we open the door.
Sure. Though it's a running joke in hospitals that you never get sleep.
That's right. We will be having Michelle on to talk with us about wearable technology.
Right. So any last words?
We have been talking about our sign-off. How are we going to sign off our podcast?
So I don't have a good sign-off yet.
I think it's a little cheeky, but I like, thanks for diving in.
Okay.
So with that, Dr. Bob Boland, thanks for diving in.